The Rich Eisen Show.
Now. Players deserve to be paid.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The issue I have with it is there's no rules for it. Keeping track of all this was too much for Chip Kelly.
I just wanted to be happy. You know, it would have taken a special place for me to leave UCLA because I love those players and I love that coaching staff.
Earlier on the show, Orlando Magic head coach Jamal Mosley, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Coming up, MLB Network analyst Kevin Millar. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Kevin Millar, is that how I say it? Susie hates it when I do Boston accents.
Well, we know you're faking it. It's not genuine, and you don't care.
Wow.
I think it's pretty simple.
That was almost a top five.
That was literally a top five. Yes, you could have done a top five on it.
Yeah.
You know you're faking it.
So, what is it again? I'm not good at it.
You're not good at it.
I don't mean it.
You know, and you're faking it, and you don't care.
And I don't
care. You're just doing it to kind of like fit in or appease whoever you're talking to.
Fit in.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
I mean,
just be yourself.
So he just finished it. I'm trying to fit in and appease. That's the top. You got one more? Well, where's the one more drop? You got one more?
We need one more. All right, we'll get one more.
You're not a New Englander. You despise us, okay?
And despise? You know, I married into the family. I'm in love with a New Englander.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
You can't choose
I have children
that.
With a New Englander
you can't
who I found
that, you
in New
mean?
England in ESPN.
Connecticut. Borderline.
Patriots damn near moved to Connecticut.
Redheaded stepchild of New England, let's be honest.
You're kind of the redheaded stepchild of New York and New England.
See, now your accent's coming out, just to make a
you
point.
You know what I mean?
So is Maine more New England than Connecticut?
Sure. Well, Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
Massachusetts is one, okay?
Like Maine is on the top end.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Plymouth Rock.
Connecticut
right?
is right there at the bottom.
Plymouth Rock first. Maine second biggest state in New England. Maine's a big state. People forget about this.
By the way, you're going to turn to this guy whose area code of his cell phone is Maine
still
and ask him if it's really
baby.
New England?
Still 207.
No, you're going to ask him if Maine is considered New England.
Is
this guy.
More New England than Connecticut.
Oh, there's no question.
Well, without question.
Yeah.
Well, Connecticut, once you're halfway,
yeah.
once you're west of like Hartford.
Yeah, Hartford, yeah.
And I guess, what would you say? Yeah, Hartford is one, and then
well, like all the all
New
the,
Haven.
All
like
the
once you get west of New Haven yeah. and west of now, you're inching
New
towards New York.
New York.
Yeah. Well, and like Darien, and obviously all those places, you're practically New York.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no practically New York about Maine, but we're also tutoring a guy who considers Pittsburgh the East Coast.
Listen.
Who do we have on recently that said that it's most decided? No, it was Manganiello, right? Manganiello said it's most decidedly not East Coast.
I don't believe that's what he said.
He didn't say the words most decidedly, but but at any rate.
It was implied.
Now that I've been slandered.
That's what he said it all.
Kevin Millar is on the show. We're going to talk baseball with a man who made Brockman very happy and me quite miserable back in 2004.
Oh,
I didn't move my feet.
I know. See, I'm getting out. Rich,
okay. I wonder if it's me.
I
think it's me. I think it's my mic.
It's Brockman. Touch it.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
There
it's
it is.
Brockman.
All right. We found out.
It. See, now I'm
see?
Happy.
See? That's what happens when you slander me.
Don't touch
the mic. We have to fix it.
My name's on the mic flag. You keep on screwing
blame
up.
The audio. Blame the audio.
So we were like, Rich, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I take it back.
That's all right. It's because I blame you for everything.
It's true. And it's probably my fault.
Okay.
Great conversation with Andy Reid, who we got on the show when Colin was finally done with him. That was fun. And then hour number one. I really enjoyed our chat with Jamal Mosley of Orlando Magic fame, the head coach of the red hot Orlando Magic.
Orlando.
Oh, by the way, the Lakers winning the NBA championship. That's out now. 44 from De'Aaron Fox. Hey, man, if the Kings start catching fire and lighting the beam and showing
team.
Up like lighting the beam last
that's
year, they have
team.
Not lit much. The beam hasn't been lit very much this year.
And it'll come back down.
And the Bucks try to make a game of it third quarter last night, but the Warriors just smoked them, just blew the doors off them. Draymond Green was hitting threes, picking up texts and hitting
Warriors
threes.
Coming out. Warriors
I don't know.
Coming out.
We'll see. But now the Warriors have a shot. Lakers are done. Based off of last night.
Tune in tomorrow.
Tune in tomorrow. We'll do it live. Tonight you're Nuggets and Celtics, right?
Yeah. Celtics in Denver tonight.
Chris Mannix on the show tomorrow in studio.
That's fun. Let's do it.
Mark Consuelos will be on the show tomorrow as well.
Oh.
He's a Michigan parent right now. He and Kelly Ripa have a Michigan wrestler He's also in town for something called the Academy Awards.
Oh, heard of it.
Which we will preview tomorrow on the show. Tom Pelissero will show it with his pompadour haircut. Tell us what's going on in the NFL as well.
Oppenheimer's just going to sweep everything, right?
Huh?
Oppenheimer's just going to...
I don't know.
Steamroll?
I don't know. That's tomorrow.
All right.
It's about to play us out.
For the moment, though, you have a news update, Chris?
Oh, I got some news.
That involves the Iditarod? Speaking of former homes of Chris
Iditarod
Brockman?
Story.
Okay,
wild.
Here we go. Hit it. Please, hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Again, I'm so honored that Tom Brokaw just takes time out of, you know, talking about the greatest generation wherever he is.
He's talking about it right now. It's like the Beatles.
I'm sure it is.
Wherever Tom Brokaw is, he's talking
about it. It's like
about
Law and Order.
The greatest generation.
It's on somewhere.
Yep.
All right, what do you have over there, Chris?
All right, starting with a top story, how we started the show today. Steelers beat writer Jerry Dulac saying the team has mutual interest in signing Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Wilson also interested. The two sides expected to meet before the start of free agency.
Okay.
This makes total sense.
Does
Good
it?
Good job, Steelers. Do the right thing.
Which is what?
Which is not start Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph.
They're going to have, listen, sir, they bring him in, there's going to be a quarterback competition.
Great.
I guarantee
and
you.
And guess who's going to win it?
You think he'll win that one out?
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know about that.
Why is a quarterback competition a bad thing, though?
Not bad.
We say it like it's bad and it should be good. If you can't compete in-house, then what are you going to do when, you know, Joey Bosa is standing across the line from you?
You've been talking to Marshall Faulk too much.
Why?
Because Marshall is the king of someone. Pretty much anybody that doesn't play quarterback is always saying, "How come we're held to a higher standard at our position than quarterbacks? You can't compete with a quarterback. He has to know whether he's starting or not."
Yeah, you've said that the last few days, and I've been thinking like
because it is a position that is at the forefront of leadership. It is a position that is at the forefront of confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you have a guy who throws a pass and goes like this over his shoulder, that's not good for the quarterback position. Like, it's your job. You have it. Let's go. Ask, if we ever get the chance, in short order, Tom Brady. Belichick saying middle of the season, "Hey, Tom, you didn't beat the Rams. We're now barely at 500. Drew Bledsoe's ready to play, but it's your job for the rest of the season." So, Kenny Pickett may beat out Russell Wilson. Then what happens then?
And he gets cut. He probably asks for his release.
I don't know. Then what? Then he'll sit at home for the season?
Or you have a great backup in Russell Wilson in case Kenny Pickett gets injured or isn't performing up to par.
I imagine this means no Mason Rudolph, right?
If this happens?
Well, this is going to happen. I mean, it's not going to be over money. That's number one. That's number one. That's probably the reason why the Steelers are reaching out to him. It will cost very little money, if not the league minimum. That'll be just fascinating wherever Russ signs. If it's for anything over the league minimum as to why. And then what? But it does make sense. You give Kenny Pickett a little feet to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking over your shoulder. All right, great. So that's going to make you stay, not be complacent. It's going to make you keep working hard.
Okay.
Like, if you're going to just drop and give up because a guy's sitting behind you.
You're not going to drop or give up, but you're going to be wondering,
Well, then play better, and you won't have to worry about
it. I guess that'll be Tomlin's deal.
You know?
I can't imagine, again, how this doesn't happen, because who else is going to be reaching out to Russell Wilson prior to – if I'm Russ, I jump – before a seat gets filled. I jump.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the Raiders be interested in him?
Raiders Nation, less pillage.
Aiden O'Connell is not bad.
Dude.
Aiden O'Connell is better than Russell Wilson.
You're ready to ditch Kenny Pickett for Russell Wilson, and you're caping for Aiden O'Connell at the same time?
Aiden O'Connell's better than Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
Man, you guys are crazy.
What makes you say these?
Are you guys watching games?
No, explain to me why Aiden O'Connell's better than Russell Wilson.
Or Kenny Pickett. Okay.
Man, you guys love Kenny Pickett. No. Are you guys related to him
or
something?
No. I'm not related to him.
I'm the one saying Kenny Pickett How are you getting that? Well, maybe him, not me.
I'm saying to you this. Maybe the Raiders aren't interested in Russ because they are the ones who are trying to defend Russ and had a very good time doing it.
Right.
So
they're moving up in the draft. They're going to trade up.
Okay. That's why I'm like, if I'm Russ, I go ahead and do it. What else you got over there, Chris?
Okay. Some cap. We know everyone's kind of getting released here, kind of out of nowhere. Jeff Duncan saying the Saints are expected to release Michael Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't guard Mike kind of said some things back disparaging that report, but kind of seems like it's coming.
Okay.
Yesterday, Mitch Trubisky back to Buffalo. Buffalo signs Mitch to
back up Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. So okay. He goes back to Buffalo.
Oh, and his first order of business is to get fly new pants to Paris.
Let's get some new pants in Paris. That'd be great. Dalton Schultz, who signed yesterday with Houston. More tight end news. Jonnu Smith, Dolphins. 2-year deal up to $10 million.
Did you see Dalton Schultz on Pat's show? Mm-hmm. Where he was talking about how in Houston it's a great spot for him. Which, by the way, when they sign him to a deal like that, it's a great spot for him. And he was talking about how when they work out in Dallas, that is like a one-way mirror for tours to come through to watch them work. And he said he felt like he was at a zoo sometimes while he's working out.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, he also did say that the training staff's great and everybody else is great, but that there's a part of being a Dallas Cowboy that's part and parcel of being a show. And that's what it means to be a Cowboy. And when you're not a Cowboy in a different spot, that's not part of your equation. And you need to handle that part of the business when you're a Dallas Cowboy.
So,
they're all in on selling the fans the experience and saying, hey, when you're walking through on a tour,
there you go.
You're here in Frisco. You want to see Micah Parsons do a couple curls? You're walking through.
I refuse anybody? To believe other teams don't have the same thing. I mean, look, we work here. Sometimes Roku people come in and they tour. I mean, everyone's got people that kind of watch them
I'm not in spandex.
Yeah, but we're on camera.
We're on bench press.
We're on camera.
Yeah, but it's not inside the locker room. It's in
the
gym.
One-way mirror.
Into the gym. You don't think that's a little...
Maybe the higher-ups are making sure you're doing what you're supposed
to be doing. No, they're letting people just, hey, stroll through. Part of you just go see the star in Frisco, and guess what? It's leg day for CeeDee Lamb. You want to check it out? Somebody that might be like, you know, oh God, I'm going to work out, and I know it could just be somebody. Schultz said they sometimes bang on the glass.
I'm just saying. Also, Schultz got released by the Cowboys, so that could be a little bit of sour grapes.
He did. No. By the way, he was. Other than this part of the conversation, which everybody's picking up.
Of course, because it's a negative look for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So, of course, everyone's going to pick up
on
it.
That's the culture that we're talking about.
But it's just, it is interesting. Are you disturbed when there are people here watching us? You're not. You know why? Because there is somebody behind the camera at home. You know, the camera, I'm looking at the camera right now. As a matter of fact, for the radio audience, wearing a great blue shirt. I think it brings out a lot. But I'm not sitting here, you know, I love the attention, but if I'm working out, that's not a party.
Well, that's you not working out because that's not your thing.
All right. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right. Some bad news. NBA bad news. Carl Anthony Towns, our buddy.
Oh, what happened?
Left a meniscus injury. Doctors evaluating.
No.
If he's going to miss any time.
No.
And the significance of the injury. But yeah, bad news. Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, Shams said it was a tear.
Oh, no.
Woj said it was unknown, kind of an injury thing. So,
is Shams in the machine with him?
Conflicting there.
Is he reading the...
Yeah, but it's gonna be,
that's awful.
It's going to be something. See how much time he has to miss.
Well, we're what? About a month from the playoffs? Oh, dude. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, kind of a bummer. Good news for the Red Sox, finally. We're doing something.
What do you got?
Right-hander Brian Bello in the Sox agreement. 6-year, $55 million contract. Great young pitcher for us. And so, great.
Okay.
We're only going to lose 100 games.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Kevin Millar. I must ask him. what he thinks of the Red Sox. You know, when it's brutal. Spring training, everybody feels great. There's a bunch of teams that know that they're not.
Nobody feels
great. Rafael Devers is like, they know what we need. We know what we need.
Maybe we shouldn't have traded Chris Sale.
Okay.
Just saying.
What else?
Saw this morning. This is kind of ridiculous. Mike, how old are you again?
I'll be 58 in 12 days.
Well, 57-year-old Mike Tyson's going to fight Jake Paul in a boxing match.
What?
July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. The main event that's going to air live on Netflix.
Now you know how Dalton Schultz feels working out. I mean, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Mike Watch Tyson fight Jake Paul?
Yeah, Jake Paul.
Believe it.
What's the pay-per-view number at?
$90 Probably, yeah, probably.
Would you pay $90 to watch that?
Well, it's on live on Netflix.
Oh, is what you said? It's live on Netflix?
I think it's going to be on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
So I think as long as you're a subscriber, you're going to get it.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I don't know about this.
That's great. So
Mike Tyson is going to destroy him.
Listen.
Yes, no.
I remember.
Depends.
I remember
on what
Tyson
the
fights.
Situation is Chris.
Back in the day. Back in the day, I had friends who went to the bathroom right before a Tyson fight.
Oh.
And then missed
over,
it.
Yeah.
Over. Remember, he used to beat.
I remember those. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. 45 seconds.
He used to beat people.
He would get so mad.
Yeah.
Because he spent 69 bucks.
He would just beat people in like 60 seconds.
Trevor Burbick.
Destroy them.
Over. Well, I always say this. Tyson won the fight the second he came out of the locker room and started walking.
Oh, I remember that.
That's when the fight was over.
All right. Lane, let's get it on. Fight over.
You got one more?
Quick Iditarod update. So you know the Slug Dog Race takes place in Alaska. It goes from Anchorage to Nome. It's long. It takes about 10 days.
Okay.
Sled dog mushing. So this guy, Dallas CV, is a 5-time winner. So he got in trouble recently because he illegally gutted a moose during the race.
Wait,
so on the first night, a gigantic moose kind of crossed his path and got tangled into the ropes with his dogs. And so he had to cut it free, got into a scuffle. There was a report that he punched the moose, but he ended up having to kill it. And now, according to Iditarod rules, you have to properly gut the moose, and he did not do this. And then later on, another musher got tangled up in the carcass of the moose, so he has been suspended 2 extra hours are added to his mandatory 24-hour.
I had no idea. I had no idea. That, what? Hold on, his microphone's completely out. Back. By the way, I had no idea, by the way, that part of the Iditarod, I just thought you just needed to know how to, mush or ride, drive a sled, you know, and be in charge of dogs. I had no idea you needed to have moose carcass gutting acumen.
Right. I mean, first of all, if you're out there just mushing
that's
some dogs.
That's MCGA. I didn't know you needed the MCGA.
You're not thinking you're going to have to go out there and fist fight Marty Moose? Like, come on.
Chris, is that you need to know how to gut a moose properly?
Oh, absolutely. According to rules, if a musher kills a big game animal, moose, caribou, buffalo, in defense or life and property during the race, rules require that they gut the animal and report it to officials at the next checkpoint. Officials ruled that CV, like I said, 5-time winner of the event, did not do that properly.
So that's why, Coop, when he said to me when he was reading the ESPN news stack prior to dinner last night, goes, somebody got fined for not properly gutting a moose. That's what he's talking about.
Exactly. That's what he's talking about.
Huh.
He said the moose fell on my sled and was sprawled on the trail.
Oh, that's terrible.
I gutted it the best I could, but it was ugly.
Well.
R.I.P. to the moose.
I know.
Marty Moose.
Well,
Marty Moose.
That's our loophole in our consulting business. I don't think we can
and
help
I say,
with that.
And I say, why is the Iditarod not live streamed? I want to be able to see this.
Let's take a break. Kevin Millar is about to join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're talking Ohtani, Red Sox, baseball, and golf, and just everything Kevin Millar is interested in.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Okay, we're back. Kevin Millar.
Millar
is going to join us shortly on the program.
Kevin Millar.
Uh-huh.
Well, I played 2 years in Portland, Maine. He was a beast.
What'd you say?
He played for the AA affiliate in Portland when it was with Miami with the Marlins.
The Portland, what is it called?
Sea Dogs.
Sea Dogs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids go to a game every year from their camp.
And then a couple of years after he left, they switched to being the Red Sox affiliate.
Okay.
He was a beast there. He hit like 340 in 97.
So he's your guy.
Love him.
He's your guy.
Right?
Great. Cowboy up.
Cowboy up. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun.
It was great.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, we just had four other rings to just fall back on. So it's okay.
Yeah. When was the last time you guys won?
2009. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're good. We have 27.
We're not good, by the way. We're far from good.
We might be good this year.
Mike, you might as well be us.
No.
No, we're better than you.
Yeah, not saying much.
It's true.
Actually, it is.
We're bad.
He's right.
Like, we're going to go like 65-97.
Are you really serious? You're going to go 65 wins?
If we get to 70, I'll be pretty shocked.
Dude, 65 wins.
It's terrible.
When was the last time Red Sox had 65 wins?
It's been a while.
65 W's,
we're
man.
Bad. Bad, bad. If we don't sign Jordan Montgomery, I don't know how we're going to win any games.
Yankees should do that.
Got like two starting pitchers.
Blake Snell's out there too, right?
And Snell and Montgomery.
Oh, what's going on?
But wait, hold on a second. Oh, right. John Henry sucks. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, he's cheap. Sorry. He'd rather spend money on golf that no one knows the future of. And he's sitting on the board. Did you see that? What are we doing? Maybe focus on your actual job. Owning the Red Sox.
Look at this guy.
Got it.
He's got
just in time. His microphone works again. Isn't that great?
Perfect.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's a World Series champion. He's an MLB Network analyst, and he's going to be playing golf in the Invited Celebrity Classic in April with a ton of PGA Tour champions, players, and fellow baseball players. Our friend Kevin Millar is back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kevin? Good to see you.
Still can't putt, Rich. Love golf. You can't master the sport. And as you can see, I'm in a major moving process right now.
Yeah. Your shelving is lacking. But I appreciate, though, that you're spreading out, I guess, the remaining unpacked baseballs that you have fill up the space behind you, Kevin.
Let me put these on real quick, and I'm just going to give you just a quick. So,
okay,
as you can see over here,
I love it.
We would have the game used gloves.
So
I don't know what these, but this was the 04, 20 years, by the way.
Ooh.
Back when we could use pine tar on our gloves and stuff, so the pitchers might get extra grip. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't say it out loud, right, Richie? right here we have the Orioles game used helmet. No idea what that does or does.
That looks like some pine tar on the top of that too, brother. I'm not going to lie.
Back when we could use pine tar, back when the boys can get a little grip or so.
Yep.
And I have a Ryan Dempster signed baseball if anybody wants that. wait a minute. Carlos Delgado, what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. Home run calls when I was on SportsCenter back in the day. Carlos Delgado, Delgadit. That was one of my favorites of all time, Kevin. I love him.
Yeah, so moving. I wouldn't put that on anybody, but this used to be the fun office, and now it is just deep breaths.
I appreciate the tour, man. That's fantastic. And then just you in general. Is that like a Dick Tidrow, Al Raboski sort of homage mustache you've got working right now, Kevin? What do you got going
11
on?
11 minutes ago, it was a white Santa Claus just stuff. And I went down to the Fu Manchu, and what happened was, you know, I got two boys in high school, okay? Yeah. One's a junior, one's a senior. And I was a big facial hair connoisseur. So if I wasn't hitting, it was immediately a shaved head. It was handlebars. It was goatee. It was beard, whatever it was. I've got one that's hitting, and one that's not. So really, I wanted to shave for the one that's not. And I'm like, we're going to change it up today. We got a big couple games today. And so that's what I went with. I went with this with a little bit of mascara, the dark brown, not black, dark brown, waterproof.
Waterproof.
It's not your first rodeo, Kevin Millar. This is not your first rodeo. And I appreciate that. Did it ever work that you would shave and you'd get hits? Did that really ever work, Kevin, for real? That
worked. True story. I grounded out into three double plays against Greg Maddux. And at one point, I was started off with a beard. Not in that game. Then, I grounded out, went upstairs and shaved during the game to a goatee. It was another ground out, went upstairs during the game, my third at bat, and went to the handlebars. We got out again. But I shaved three times in a game, my three different looks. And I remember Tommy Hutton going, didn't Kevin have a beard when we started this game? And I ended up with handlebars. So that could be a first time in history.
So 0-3, which, by the way, no shame against Greg Maddux. Many, many, many have gone 0-3. But you might be the only one with three different looks, Kevin. That's next level.
Yeah, I know it was three straight ground ball double plays in the same game was a record. I think myself and John Mabry at that moment with the Marlins, which is back in the 40s and 50s. I know they were expansion team, but it feels that old.
I love it. Kevin Millar here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so let's just jump into the season. We're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right? Is that basically it right now, Kevin?
And the Dodgers world, I mean, $1.4 billion in an offseason. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Why isn't it? Yeah, it's good for baseball. And what Andrew Freeman and this organization has done, because let's go back when he was with the Rays, Andrew Freeman. You know, they won 90-plus games a year with a very small budget. Now with the Dodgers, I think he's got an absolutely large budget. And, yes, Ohtani, we are living in his world. They are a good ball club before these moves with Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and pure leaders. Now, this is definitely the team to beat. And yes, it is World Series or bust, because that should be your next question with Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. I mean, we're all just treading water just to see how many wins they have during the regular season and, you know, what ends up happening about their seeding in the playoffs. And then now that's when the rubber meets the road. And we'll see who might take him out. A team that is, you know, well-heeled or well-moneyed like Atlanta or Philadelphia. Or it could be one of those plucky Diamondbacks teams that just catches fire, where everybody puts the ball in play. Everybody throws strikes. And that will always win the day, right? I mean, that's basically the question about the Dodgers as we're sitting here in early March, Kevin.
Isn't that amazing what you just said, though? Because let's go back to last year. Those two teams nobody had on the big stage. And that's what makes this game so great. Bruce Bochy comes back, takes over a team that, you know, lost 100 games almost the last couple of years. And then now they're in the World Series. And then you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, like Torrey Lovello in this group. What I loved about both those clubs, Max Scherzer made it a point to me, and it was awesome. Look at these two teams, you know. There's not a whole lot of antics. You got Corey Seager and you got Semien, who's the only guy, by the way, in our game to play all 176 games last year. It seems like everybody's dying to have a day off or just wants to play, you know, 120 games or wants to go out there and just get three in the third innings and gets a high five. The appreciation of the young kids, Evan Carter, Corbin Carroll, the game's played the right way, hard and right. You have some stars, but you had ball players. And I think that needs to kind of rub off on the rest of the league. This game still played with respect. Yes, we're in a world where we brand, and yes, we're in a world where we can do a backflip after a double. I'm all good with that. But at the end of the day, this game's about respect. Play the game hard, play the game right, good things can happen. Those two teams got hot at the right time, and it was refreshing because nobody had them on our schedules or our radar. But the Atlanta Braves, I love what you said. They, to me, are the World Series favorites going in. If you were to ask me, because of what Alex Anthopoulos has done and signed all those guys together for 5 to 10 years, they're a tough club.
Even more than the Dodgers, you're thinking the Braves.
I say yes because of chemistry. It's hard to go out and pull four or five guys, put them in the year, and then win a World Series. That's hard. It's great to talk about. A lot of money, a lot of stuff. How are they going to pay Shohei? We're going to backload it. We got all this stuff going. It's like this. and they're going to win 100 plus games. But you know, Rich, as well as I do, you have to be playing well. You have to be injury free. You have to be all of these things the last few weeks of the season. And not all the time are the best team, I mean, the best players in the top of this stage with baseball, the best teams are. So we'll see.
Well, you're also, you know, a long time, I guess you go way back like a car seat with the manager of the Dodgers, clearly, Kevin.
Showered with him.
That's close.
Yeah,
I was going to say intimately, no, but I didn't mean that. But yeah, you know Dave Roberts. So what is the challenge for him? You know, how do you get guys who are all world to basically hit when it's game on the line? You know, and Freeman does it, and Betts knows how to do it, and Otani has never been, obviously, in that situation, you know, in America. But how does a manager prepare all season long for that moment when rubber meets the road in a playoff game, Kevin? How do you do that?
I think your job as a manager is to get the most out of your players, right? There's right. 25 different personalities. And what's that mean? Well, Rich, you're a guy that I might have to be able to get onto. Like, you know, you're not doing your job. You jog a ball out, whatever it was. I might need to get on you behind the scenes. And there's a guy over here I might need to pat. If Shohei Ohtani might not do something right, or I need him to hit on the field and he's not hitting on the field. Because I think what happens is that you have to, obviously, you have all of these egos and all of these different salaries and all these different people, and you have management teams around them. That's the difference now. You know, we used to have a hat on backwards with a set of cards in our back pocket, and we're going to go play some cribbage or hearts or spades. I think you have to find a way to get them to believe and buy into being a team. If we're hitting on the field, everybody hits on the field. If we're hitting in the cages, awesome. But I don't want to see, like, one dude in the Pilates studio, one dude's over here eating kale smoothies, one dude over here is, you know, doing sprints. I love to see the group around each other where you can talk, you can rag, you can make fun of each other. So Dave Roberts has got a tougher job than people think. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, just throw everybody out there. They're going to win. Yeah, if you can get everybody in, and they got good people. They got good people. Like when you're talking about a Betts and a Freeman to start with your foundation, Clayton Kershaw, he'll be back sometime in August. But they've got some foundation. All Dave has to do, dude, is to step back and make sure everybody's on the same page. And, you know, he's one of the greatest people you're ever going to meet. I mean, hands down, Dave Roberts, one of the nicest men you'll meet.
No doubt. Kevin Millar here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we'll get to golf and the Celebrity Classic that you're playing in Las Colinas Country Club in Texas in April. But let's talk about the Rangers. Obviously, they're the World Series champs. Tough to not look at the Orioles and say this is it. Right? I mean, they're so young, so talented. They're so very good, even though they haven't been tested. They haven't been heartbroken more than just last year. So how do you handicap the American League right now?
Yeah. Brandon Hyde, another great dude, like a baseball guy, was around him with John Lester's retirement, you know, a year or so ago. And it was awesome to be around him because, you know, I didn't know much about Brandon other than John Lackey and his boys had him in Chicago with the Cubs. And they're like, dude, he's the greatest dude ever. He's the greatest dude ever. He really is. He's a guy that cares about his dudes. You know, I played with the Orioles from the 06, 07, 08 years when we were worrying about facial hair. You know, we were the New York Yankees rules. I'm like, time out. That's the New York Yankees. Let's worry about winning some ball games over here, not worrying about how much orange I have in my spikes or how long I've shaved. And now this organization, you know, fast forwarding, I'm like, they are really good. They've drafted well. And Rich, what I think that people forget is the scouts don't get enough credit in this game. So you and I are scouts for, let's say, the New York Mets, and we're going to watch a kid and getting in our car driving to Southwest, you know, conference to watch a dude, but not to miss on your draft, your ones, your twos, your threes, and your fourth round guys. That's big. That's what the Orioles have done. I mean, you got Henderson, an Alabama boy, great friends with Jake Peavy, looked up to him, but like a good person along with a great player. Jackson Holliday, that we've heard so much about. Matt Holliday, one of the nicest men that you're going to have. I mean, their catcher comes in and starts being a leader immediately. They drafted great. And now you're getting a chance to see these dudes help the big league club. And that's what the Rays did so many, so great so many years. You had your David Prices, your James Shields, you're Evan Longoria's. They were pros that helped the pro team as young men.
What about the Yankees, Kevin? What do you think?
Soto. I mean, I love the Soto addition. Right. I know that Soto, you know, we talk about him like he's, you know, the best player in the game. What he has the ability to do that a lot of people didn't do as a young guy is the knowledge of the strike zone. Like when you're talking about a player that can hit, yeah, Soto can hit. Now, if I'm him or Boney, I'm like, we know you can hit. We know you got power. We know all of it, right? But at the end of the day, let's work on some stuff to really get better and be a championship type club. That'd be my defense, my base running. And let's figure out how to stay on the field as a team. But this kid, great sign by the Yankees. I think it's tremendous. And we heard a lot about it. It didn't work out in, you know, San Diego. Nobody knows why. You had all the same type players on paper. You had all the same type starters on paper with Snell and Darvish. And you're sitting here going, why are the Padres kind of just going, they never got hot. I don't know why. Only they know why. So I like this addition the Yankees made.
And then let's just talk before we get to the golf, Kevin. The Red Sox, I mean, obviously spring, hope springs eternal, and so many people show up. And, you know, and we know in this sport with 30 clubs that not everybody's got a real shot at the World Series. You normally don't put the Red Sox in that category, and you don't usually see somebody like Rafael Devers basically come out that the needs for this team are clear and clearly intimating that ownership didn't fill the needs. So how do you take his comments, Kevin?
Well, I mean, start out and let's say a prayer. Let's pray. The Red Sox are in for a long year. I mean, they're in for a long year. They're what we call where you don't want to be, right in that middle. You're either rebuilding and you come out and be honest with the fans and say, all right, we're in a rebuilding process because every organization goes through it. The Chicago Cubs went through it when they signed Theo Epstein for 5 years over there. And he made a great point. You need three drafts, three Junes to build this organization. So they lost a lot of games. And then boom, 2016, we broke a 100-year curse and the Cubs win. The Red Sox do the 86-year curse, 04, 20 years this year, by the way.
Wow.
And then you go 07, you go 13, and then you go 2018, right? So they've won a lot of World Series in this short little span, and now you've had a lot of, like, they finished in last place, I believe, two of the last 3 years. You got a year that you're looking at going, oh, my goodness gracious, the Blue Jays are good. We've talked about the Orioles, how good they are. The Rays are always good. The Yankees. How many games and where is this team going to finish? Well, immediately on paper, it says last place. Now, how do you handle this, right? It's a big market, big city, big money organization. It's just there's a lot of things like Mookie Betts not still being there, Xander Bogaerts not still being there. These deals needed to be done before they went to free agency. The $200 million deal that Xander got, the Padres, that's too late. But you might have got this deal done for $140 million. By the way, Devers and him are best friends. So if you're going to give a dude $300 million to Rafi Devers, then how is, like, Xander Bogaerts gone? Well, this is the stuff that went on, and it happens. Okay, great. They're in for a long year. They have to build this farm system. They're not going to win the World Series this year. That's the honest-to-God truth about it. Alex Cora is a great baseball man, and he's going to get the most out of this club. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a long year for the Boston Red Sox. And this is what makes it kind of fun. When you're in that team, you could say, hey, boys, let's go out and shock some people. Nats, go out and win 85 games maybe. I don't know. But you're looking on paper going, uh-oh.
That is a mouthful. No doubt about that. All right. Let's talk about the third annual Invited Celebrity Classic. You're going to peg it up April 19th through the 21st at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, right down the street from where the Cowboys used to play, on Golf Channel. Do you feel any pressure when the cameras are on and you're pegging it up, Kevin? Walk me through it.
5 foot left or right, trying to say bogey, Richie. I'm going to tell you right now, palm sweating. It doesn't make sense because you go out with the boys, and if you and I are playing, I'm like, yeah, Rich, that's good. Let's go. You don't realize how hard it is to make a 3.5-footer. Down grain, down wind. And I'm telling you right now, if you could do me one favor, we've played this last couple years.
Yes, Kevin.
The wind's been like 35 miles an hour, and Uncle Kevin can't play that left to right wind because we're cutters. We're baseball players. We want to hit it, and the spin goes this way, and then you play against these guys. And with these guys, it's amazing to watch these senior guys play golf. It doesn't affect them. Like, we're stressed out, aiming left to go right and all this stuff. these dudes, the LPGA and the seniors, they just swing nice and easy, and that ball just goes boom. They just take a little more club, but you know us, we can't learn from that. We got to try to hit the driver 300 yards so it goes in the trees.
So how does it work? You're paired with a PGA champion tour player, right? And then it's you and a bunch of other fellow athletes like Glavin and Lester and Joe Carter, you, Maddox, the aforementioned Matt Romo's out there. Look out. Albert Pujols, Smoltz. Good Lord. These are real sticks,
Erlacher.
Kevin. Erlacher. Yeah, so
there's a lot of smack talking. There's a lot of gambling behind the scenes. But what goes on, like Vijay Singh with me and Brian Erlacher one day. And then next day. So that's how it goes. There's two of us and one of them.
Okay.
But there is a lot of smack talking. There's side bets going on. Erlacher and I, it seems like we finished between the 15th to the 25th, and it seems like we're always there. So there's side bets that go, but thank goodness he's very nice because he's 6'4", and he could eat my face off. So I stay on his good side. Even if I do win, I'll still want to pay him because I don't want him to beat me up. But, yeah, it's a tremendous event. $500,000 has been written to charity. So there's some charity work behind the scenes. Mike Flaskey is a buddy of mine that started these. I mean, I'm basically on a napkin. Like, how can we – and there's some good golf. How can we start these events with some players that football, baseball, basketball, doesn't matter, that guys love golf now. Golf wasn't this cool before Tiger made it really cool. And then Ricky Fowler made it cool for kids. So it's one of those games you can't master. We all take it up when we're done playing. And hopefully your wife loves that you golf because I kind of sneak out of here in the morning.
Nice.
You tiptoe. You tiptoe. And then that's how it goes.
Live on the Golf Channel, all 3 days of competition. Again, make a note of it, April 19th through the 21st. Kevin Millar, great fun chat. Before I let you go, last one for you here. Ohtani, as you know, 10 years, right? Let's just say he plays all 10, right? How many World Series is sufficient? Like two, just two, huh? That's it?
I mean, do you know how hard it is to win a championship?
I know.
That gets hard. The Yankees. Remember the Yankees in 98, 99, 2000? Like, those lineups, you're like, wow. So I would say realistically, because you look at the Phillies. Look at that team. They're a good ball club. Look at the Braves. They're a good ball club. You don't think the Orioles are going to be really good if they add an arm here and an arm there, and next thing you know, you're like, so you have some good ball clubs. Now, the Ohtani situation, as a hitter, awesome. Like, he is awesome, but we're talking about the combination of pitching and hitting.
Right.
We don't know how the arm's going to come back.
That's
so
true.
I'm giving you two World Series. If he comes back in 26 and makes, 25 starts a year, then we're going to come back in the show. I'm like, yep, he's back to throwing 100 with a split finger and hitting 50 home runs. Maybe four World Series.
That's well, let's split the difference. We were saying three on the show. Three, like, listen, hitting 300 gives you a good chance to get in the Hall of Fame. So 3 out of 10, that's what we were thinking. But
all right, look at the Chiefs. They're going for 3 for 3. So
right.
Yeah, maybe it's gotten easier to win championships. Nah, but boys, right. 0-4 was hard.
I bet. Well, a happy 20th anniversary on that. But I'll speak to you way before the season as well. And just look for more of my calls, Kevin. Thank you.
Thanks, Richie.
You bet. Kevin Millar, at Kevin Millar 15 with his Fu Manchu right here on The Rich Eisen Show. That was a lot of fun right there. Let's take a quick break and wrap up this program and set up our Friday show right here on Roku and this radio station.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
I have an update on the Red Sox.
Oh, what you got?
Braves Red Sox going on right now.
Oh yeah,
Look at that! Cool. Isn't that beautiful?
That's pretty. Oh,
They're in the DR, I think. Right?
You know where I got this photograph from? Mr. Retiree himself. Look who's there.
Oh,
okay. Wow! Oh, they must be in Fort Myers then. Still,
he texted me earlier today. I'm glad he thought of me. I don't know how many people he texted it to, but Sox today, Pirates tomorrow, Mets card Saturday, then home. And he wrote in all caps, because I am retired and I can do whatever I want.
See, that's what I like.
And then he sent that photograph. I asked him, mind if I pop it on? He wrote, please do. Look how happy. See? Maybe that's a live shot of him, right?
That is awesome.
This is what he's doing instead of like on the phones, trying to find out. Russell going to go to Pittsburgh. What's happening here? What's happening there? He did it for a long time and was terrific at it. And now, why not?
That's pretty great. Cool.
That's what you do. That's how you
return your labor. I'm inspired. I'm out of here.
No. I'm getting close.
No.
Mike, you've been close for a decade.
Dude, stop threatening.
Come on, man. What are you talking about? I'm getting close.
Yeah. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I'm out.
Out of where?
You guys aren't going to hear from me.
I doubt that.
Mike, what are you talking about?
What are you
when
talking
I'm done
about?
Eventually. You won't hear from me.
When I'm
like
done
Brockman
eventually.
Says when he wins the lottery, you're not going to hear from the same way I'm when I retire.
But you're never going to retire, so what are we,
that's
what are
the
we,
thing.
What are we talking
I
about?
I got a long time.
But how am I supposed to take that?
I got like 10 more years.
When I'm done working, you'll never hear from me again.
No, I mean, I'll send you guys a
I mean, Peter King's done working, and he texted me from a baseball game, which I'm thrilled about.
I'll text you from the middle of the ocean.
Who are you going to talk to? You'll drive yourself crazy to talk to nobody.
I'll be talking to the fishes.
Honestly.
I'll be sleeping with
Mike Del Tufo just said that if when he retires, he's never you'll never hear from him again. Dude, you're like the guy who will talk to a volleyball.
I will. I actually will.
Wilson, we'll call him Wilson.
Of a Hoover.
What are you talking about?
Come on.
I actually did that the
dude,
other
you
day.
Talk to a volleyball even when you're not retired. I've seen you on planes. I've seen you in action on planes.
Mike, yeah. I've seen you
no,
here.
No, by the way.
In the morning talking
I have
to nobody.
I changed that the plane thing.
What do you mean you've
I've
changed?
Changed. I've changed on talk? Planes. I don't talk anymore. I'm a quiet guy. I'm flying when I do the first UFL game. I'll put my headphones on. I don't talk to people anymore.
Oh, you're doing the UFL? I didn't know you're doing the UFL.
Rich, you knew that. Don't lie.
Well, even if you're sitting next to Kim Kardashian again.
What
That's
happened?
A different story.
What happened?
I flew next to Kim Kardashian twice.
When?
Oh, years ago when she was dating Reggie Bush, the Reggie Bush era.
Huh.
Yeah, back then.
Why are you See, laughing?
He didn't know that.
What are you laughing about?
I was just winding him up.
He wanted me to start.
So.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not, I,
okay,
I will not
so
speak.
did you chatter up Kim Kardashian?
For a second, but like, not well, really.
Like, what's your opener?
It was. I was just like,
what's your opener?
Hey,
we just started chatting while we were eating. It was an LA to New York.
What's your opener?
It was an LA to New York flight.
How you spit that game, Mike?
By the way, no, I don't like.
Yeah, I gave her the idea for Skims. It took a while
during COVID when we wore the masks.
Yeah,
that's when I was finished with talking to people because you couldn't really talk with the mask on. So
Mike, I've traveled with you post COVID and you were chatting people up.
I've retired.
What is happening? You're tired,
Mike. You sit in that chair and you talk to yourself sometimes.
That's different when I'm here. When I'm on a plane,
I'm retired.
You're retired from what? Talking to people on a plane?
Yeah, I'm done.
So what are we hanging the rafters for that?
My headphones?
No, that's what you're using now, so you don't talk to people.
His voice box.
My voice box. You want my larynx? What do you want me to give you?
Fantastic. All of us. Andy Reid's not retiring.
No.
Right? Anytime soon?
Mike, who retires first? You or Andy Reid?
Ooh. Neither one of them ever.
Let me tell you something. As long as Andy Reid got a goal that I got to achieve. Right.
That I will wait to retire until that
What
goal
is that?
For us to get an Emmy here, right?
That's one of the things.
No, it's not.
That is 100%.
There's in no way is that on your list.
100% that is because this
no
will
chance.
This is a job that I've had for 10 years. 100%. You guys think I 100%
no,
I
No, we think you look
show.
Down on this job.
I,
yes. Oh, yeah, we'll finish the
BS.
Sentence for you.
That
this
BS.
Is that you'd rather work faders.
No.
You'd rather play round ball rock before Creighton versus Vanderbilt than do this show.
No, but I seriously, I want to win an Emmy
for this millions of
because
people
this is a job
be
that I
team.
Had.
Right. That'd be great.
You guys think I'm
kidding.
Totally
so you know
do.
How I'll take it? Andy Reid cannot leave his job while Patrick Mahomes is there. You can't leave it while I'm here.
Exactly.
I'm the Mahomes sense. Here.
That's it.
Right?
Brockman's my Travis Kelce.
Yep.
TJ's my, we got to think of TJ, who would you be?
Chris Jones.
Yeah, there you go. He can't leave. You can't leave Chris Jones.
I'll definitely
I'm signing him.
You're his Dak. Come on now.
You don't play for Andy Reid.
You already mentioned how you would have a problem with people standing here like they're watching you work out at a Cowboys Frisco tour. You have
crazy.
No problem with that. Seriously, you're the Dak because pressure makes diamonds. You make diamonds every day.
You know how I get when
under
people
the pressure
laugh
here.
If I say something
that's
funny, it'll just make me even more hype.
That's crazy. Right. People watching you work out through like a it's, one-way mirror.
Exactly.
Or that's crazy.
And he's equating it to here where people are sitting on the couch because their friends or their clients are appearing on the program.
You're saying that, like I said, it was a bad thing. I was just making
No, you try to equate it because it's a weird thing in Dallas. Like, hey, let's create a one-way mirror so everybody can watch Stephon Gilmore on Ab Day. You know,
when those guys are.
By the way, if you notice
you,
my like Mad Lib, just proper name.
It's good.
Whatever day it is, nice. I can keep going.
As you should.
You know, let's get a one-way mirror so they can tap on the glass when.
And do we know
when it's Rico Dowdle's peck day.
A disgruntled ex-employee said that. So how do we know this is true?
Disgruntled? He's not disgruntled. He's in it big. And the Texans actually won a playoff game last year.
That's okay. Crazy.
And you know, people aren't peeping him while he's working out.
I've never heard anyone but Dalton Schultz.
What a great final segment.
I'm going to go watch Adam work out after the show.
Thanks to Kevin Millar. Thanks to Jamal Mosley. And thanks to Colin Coward for finally wrapping it up with Andy Reid.
Movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, and more. It's What Women Binge with Melissa Joan Hart and her friend Amanda Lee.
We have Lauren Bosworth with us.
Yay!
The Hills. So what is like your number one question from fans?
The primary question I still get asked was, "What is it real?" In 2024, to me, is a surprising question to get because I feel like everybody has been through the reality TV gauntlet at this point.
What Women Binge, wherever you listen.